You are listening to A Window on the Past on West Limerick 102 FM.
Starting from the 20th of February, yes. 1921, right?
Yes.
Now, just to give you an overview, we spoke about November 1920 being a bloody month.
Yes.
February 1921 is bloodier.
All right, so right? Tensions are escalating and incidents are yes. escalating.
Are mounting, right?
Yes.
Now, just to sum it, there was 178 fatalities in February 1921.
And bearing in mind that February is the shortest month of the year.
Yes, 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 yes. Now, there are a couple of things that really, dare I say it, exacerbate things in February 1921. There is the in Cork. You have the massacre of the IRA near Middleton. And in Limerick, you have the Dunkeen ambush.
Yes.
Now, as I said, the massacre of the IRA near Bandon or near Middleton at Clonmult, right? There was, in total, I think, 21 IRA killed.
Heavy, heavy losses.
Now, between what was executed and what was effectively murdered.
Yes.
Now, the auxiliaries shot those out of hand. The British military involved the Hampshire Regiment. In fairness, the officers of the Hampshire were some way restrained. But the auxiliaries, when the IRA moved out of the house. Now, the whole thing at Clonmult is a total fiasco. We've dealt with that,
and we said that, you know, to be honest, they kind of created their own fate because they, you know, they had been in the same place for 3 weeks, which is a place which is unsuitable anyway.
It's total madness. You know, it's no point in just saying unsuitable. It's a much stronger word required. Madness.
Madness, and there was no leadership left behind on that day either. You know, there was actually they promoted somebody who wasn't leader to the position of leader, so they had created disharmony within the group.
Well, to be fair to the guy that they promoted as leader, O'Connell, I don't believe it was his fault. It was the guy that Hennessy that was over that had been stepped over.
Yes.
Hennessy did everything to undermine O'Connor's leadership.
Yes.
Now, I think he should have been court-martialed by the IRA later and an example made of him.
Yes.
Right? But it wasn't, you know, because he was lucky, he was in prison. The Brits, he was court-martialed by the British and eventually, but he was saved by the truce. Now, he was saved because he was wounded. He was seriously wounded at Clonmult. But he should never, like, you know, as I say, he survived. But question marks as to what he deserved.
And many men died because of his actions.
And many men, well, he certainly was contributing to it.
Yes.
You know, like the whole team was a fiasco. Anyhow, coming back to, as I say, on the 24th of February 1921, one of the few ambushes in Kilkenny, and it reflected, dare I say, a lack of leadership in the area.
Yes.
They decided to ambush a patrol in Kilkenny City, but they also decided that they weren't going to open fire.
Okay.
They were going to hold them up. No, they never told the British that, but the British opened fire.
Yes.
And they killed three of the IRA.
So again, another kind of a fiasco. I mean, you can't decide to ambush somebody without any intention to use your arms.
You've got to be prepared. You've got to be prepared, I would say. If you're going to put a gun,
you've got to be prepared to use it.
You better be prepared to use it. Otherwise, don't pull it. Anyhow, as I say, there was a fellow called Thomas Hennessy. He was from the Three Castles Company. He was a company captain. from Three Castles. I think he was in charge of the fiasco. A fellow called Mick Dalmady and a fellow called Thomas Dollard. Now, they were killed.
Yes.
As I say, you know, it's little consolation to their relations that it should never have happened, you know, because, as I say, if you pull a gun, you're prepared to use it, and apparently they were reluctant to, and the British weren't reluctant.
Well, you can't, as a time of war and as a time of open combat and that, you can't display any sort of reluctance, really.
Well, as I say, if you pull a gun, you've got to be prepared to use it. Now, and I'm not condoning shooting someone, but at the same time, if you pull a gun and you don't use it, the other fellow might pull it and he will use it.
And that's exactly illustrated there by that ambush in Kilkenny.
Now, on the 22nd of February 1921, three British soldiers were executed in County Clare. Now, they were actually from the Strand Barracks in Limerick. They were from the Oxen Bucks in the Strand Barracks. And they were wandering around County Clare purporting to be deserters. Now, the IRA had gotten caught a couple of times with deserters. Now, they may not have been genuine deserters, but the IRA wasn't taking any chances.
Yes.
To three of them, as I say, a Thomas Bullitt, a Sidney Walker, and a David Williams, when they were captured by the IRA, they were executed. Now, as I say, were they deserters, genuine deserters? They may have been.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, the IRA had some bitter lessons on that one, so that they three boys paid the price for it, unfortunately. They may have been genuine. Who knows? Moving on. In February 1921, down in West Cork, there had been a vicious battle going on between the Essex Regiment. Now, I would say, of all the British military regiments in Ireland, I'd say the Essex Regiment, based on Bandon, was probably the most ruthless.
Right.
Certainly the man in charge of them, Percival, right?
Yes.
Major Percival, as he was then, later to become the notorious General Percival, who surrendered Singapore to a much smaller Japanese force in 1940.
Right. He showed his true colours, and a leopard never changes its spots.
A most useless article. Right?
Yes.
Anyhow, Percival in Cork was a ruthless man. And surprise, surprise, the IRA started to retaliate. Now, they had already kind of a no-holds-barred with the auxiliaries in Cork. So, in other words, if an auxiliary was captured, he likely wasn't going to survive.
Yes.
The same was applied to the Essex Regiment. Now, a lot of the, let's be very clear, a lot of the British regiments in Cork were honourable and decent, right? Particularly the Liverpool Regiment that was based around Skibbereen,
yes,
under Colonel Hudson. Even Tom Barry, in his book on the Grenadiers in Ireland, he makes mention of the fact that Colonel Hudson, who was in charge of the Liverpool Regiment in based around Skibbereen, that they were very honourable.
Yes.
Now, the same would not be applied to our friend Percival.
Yes. Nobody's rushing to describe him as an honourable man.
No. Now, having said that, the Manchester Regiment that were based at Ballincollig, they were also regarded as a decent regiment. You know, it was all determined by the officers.
Yes.
If the officers were decent men or honourable men, they fought their corner. They had to fight their corner.
Oh, they were here to do a job. They were sent here to do a job, and they were doing it.
But they weren't ruthless, and they're needlessly savage.
Yeah, or overzealous. Right? Yeah, they were just doing what they had been sent to do.
Overzealous now would be putting it a little bit mild. ruthless would be the word.
Yes.
The Essex Regiment, I would say, probably the most ruthless regiment in Ireland. Certainly one of the ones with the worst reputation.
Yes.
And in keeping with that, the IRA under Barry raided Bandon. They just drove into Bandon in two cars on a Saturday afternoon. They cut the, dare I say, the Essex totally by surprise.
Yes.
And in one situation, there was three Essex soldiers on the street, and Barry took up after one of them, and he shot dead a Frederick Perrier, right?
Yes.
In Bandon, on the street. He ran after him and shot him. Now, as I said, the thing with the Essex was fairly, fairly ruthless. Moving on, also in Cork, at Macroom, on the 25th of February, James, a Major Grant. Now, Grant was in charge of a detachment of auxiliaries. A ruthless man, but yes, an extremely brave man. Very, very brave. There was no question about that. He said that he was brave. And there was an ambush set up by the IRA, the Ballyvourney. And the auxiliaries who were involved, they fought back. And Grant was the man in charge of the auxiliaries.
Yes.
And leading his men, he was shot dead. Now, that. Now, as I say, one has to, whether one likes it or not, one has to admire courage.
Courage, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Around the same time, now, there is a struggle going on in Cork under the surface. And it's very difficult to know, especially in West Cork, it's very difficult to know the truth of it. There were alleged to be a unionist spy ring, right, consisting of, you know, Protestant farmers and that in the Cork area,
yes,
or West Cork area. Now, it is very difficult to know if there is an element of land grabbing going on as well, that members of the IRA would not be, now I'm not going to say that it was an organised thing, but certainly there would be certain members of the IRA, I suspect, would not be unhappy if the inheritors of land,
yes,
were not to inherit the land.
So they were using the circumstances to their advantage.
You have to have a suspicion. There's too many. I think there was too many, especially farmers, you know, Protestant farmers, dare I say it, being charged with spying and being executed.
And you see, when somebody's gone, it's you can't ask questions.
You can't ask questions. Now, as I say, one of those that fitted the bill was a fellow called James Cotter. He was from Ballineen near Bandon, right? Ballineen, anyhow, in West Cork. Now, as I say, right throughout that period, these people keep cropping up. Bradfields, there was a number of Bradfields.
Yes.
They were all, you know, Protestant farmers. Now, this played through into 1922 when there was a kind of a massacre of Protestant farmers in the Bandon Valley. It's very hard to know. Definitely, there was a spy ring, a unionist spy ring.
Yes.
Were they all members? Who knows?
Who knows? And as I say, when somebody's gone, then you can't ask the questions.
You can't, yeah. Now, as I say, the peculiar thing about a lot of them, no, they weren't all, but a lot of them owned the land. Now, not all of them, not necessarily all of them, but you...
There's a kind of a pattern that develops, isn't there? There's a pattern that develops that would suggest that, you know, there was kind of joined up thinking going on and people were using the situation to their advantage.
Now, to be fair, farmers are in a great position to spot things.
Yes.
Now, whether they spotted, these were genuinely, dare I say, loyalist spies, who knows? It's very difficult to say at this stage. Certainly the IRA believed they were, or some elements within the IRA believed they were, but at the same time, you have to hold an open mind on it.
Yes.
Right? On the 28th of February 1921, there were a number of executions in the military barracks in Cork. Now, one of the men executed was Sean Allen from Tipperary Town. I think Allen was the only Tipperary man, believe it or not, executed in the period. Now, okay, you can say Tomás McDonagh was executed in 1916. Excuse me, hold on a moment.
You're fine.
Jesus, I never turned it off. Sorry.
You're fine, I can cut it out.
Anyhow, as I said,
so this was the only man, the only Tipperary man executed during the period, with the exception of Tomás McDonagh from the 1916.
Now, when you consider there were six Limerick fellows executed in the same period.
Yes.
You know, you had Con Colbert and Ned Daly in 1916. You had what do you call him from? Patrick Casey.
Patrick Casey, right? Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You had three others. I can't think of their names now. But in total, you had...
We had six from the same period, yeah.
Yeah. Now, only Cork and Dublin would have exceeded the numbers for Limerick.
And again, that I suppose that's indicative of how active the areas were.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say that Limerick was more active than Tipperary, but it's very hard, certainly up to 1920, up to the death of Sean Tracy, Tipperary was extremely active.
Yes.
Area. Now, I will say in my book that the death of Sean Tracy, it took some of the sting out of Tipperary. It was still active. You still had the likes of Dan Breen, you still had the likes of Linnie Nacy, they would say, but you have to come to the conclusion that Sean Tracy was a driving force.
He was a driving force and an iconic figure, that a leader people wanted to follow.
Yes. Now, as I say, on the 28th of February 1921, in the detention barracks in Cork, there were a number of men executed. I think in total about 8, right?
Yes.
Most of them were from Mid Cork. They were captured at the Dripsy ambush, which was, dare I say, another fiasco.
Yes.
Now, it was, the idea was to ambush a patrol of British military, we say, that were expected to come out from Cork. Now, the British military got clever. Now, they didn't travel as they were expected along the close to the River Lee.
Yes.
Instead of that, they passed up behind. They came to Dripsy Cross and they passed up behind along a road much higher up and parallel to the road they were expected to travel on. Now, the IRA sentry that was supposed to be at Dripsy Cross, he fell into the trap of going in for a cup of tea in the house. Right? And while he was in having his tea, the Manchester regiment from Ballincolly passed up behind. And they came in behind the IRA and talk about catching someone in the wrong position.
Literally shooting fish in a barrel, isn't it?
Close enough to it.
Yeah.
Like the River Lee is on one side.
Like they're just...
The hills... behind,
yeah,
and the British coming down the hill,
and the sentry in having a cup of tea,
and the sentry in having a cup of tea.
It does not make a recipe for anything good.
No, it does not, and it didn't. Right now, there was quite a number of the IRA captured, and the other ship tried and executed. Right, that would have been on the 28th of February, 1921.
Yes,
right. Now, on the same day, at near Broadford in West Limerick, a farmer called Richard Boyce, the Warwickshire Regiment, had been searching for arms in the Broadford area.
Yes.
Now, Rice was inside in the family of his father and some of the officers of the Warwickshire Regiment. Now, what happened would appear to be cold-blooded murder. Rice said, I'm going out to catch a horse. He wants to catch a horse.
Yes.
Right? And he wasn't told that he couldn't, so he went up out into the field to catch a horse, right? Now, some of the sentries are some of the Irish regiment in on a lorry, right?
Yes.
Had been told by the IRA, by their officer, if anyone runs, you're to open fire. Now, Bice was not running.
He was running after the horse, right? But yes.
He's sticking out as clear as a pikestaff that he was catching a horse, right? But one of the sentries on the lorry, right, taking his orders to the ultimate, right?
Of course.
Drew a bead on Boyce and shot him. Then he paced out the distance to Boyce's body and walked back to the lorry. What a shot. 300 paces. What a shot. Now, there was a witness.
Yes.
Dr. Wolfe from Abbey Field was a hostage on the lorry. And now, as I say, it was pure unadulterated murder.
Not an isolated. They were told to shoot anyone who ran, and weren't they told to shoot any man with hands in his pockets as well at one point?
Yeah, but that came from Smith in the store.
Yes.
But of course, he got shot with his hands out of his pockets.
Yes.
About 6 weeks later.
Well.
In the County Kilmacore in July 19. He gave that order, I think, around May 1920. And about 6 weeks later, in July 1921, and the man that shot him actually was Sean Culhane from Glynn.
Right.
And I think he was supposed to say to him, your orders were to shoot on sight. You're in sight now.
And there you go. Yeah.
There you go.
So he got his comeuppance.
Yes. Now, Sean Culhane was involved in the shooting of Major Swansea.
Swansea as
in
well.
Belfast.
Yes.
No.
So he was, let's say Sean Culhane was quite efficient.
Ruthless could be more the word.
Yes.
But let's be straight, it cuts both ways.
It cuts both ways, and I suppose he was exacting his form of justice at the time.
Well, you see, unfortunately, what those things do is that they desanitize people. That they become desensitized.
Yes.
And shooting and killing.
They stop thinking of people as people anymore, and they're just numbers. No. They're just us and
just
them.
Numbers, yeah.
And I suppose that's why it's important for us to have this program, because we do, to be fair to us, we discuss the people in the individual cases, and from both sides, because it's important. Everybody has somebody to mourn for them.
Well, this is the point.
Yeah.
Every son has a mother.
Yes, exactly.
Now, as I say, this was probably most clearly brought home by Mrs. McCarthy after the Drumkeen ambush.
Yes.
When she wrote the letter to Mrs. Adams in Scotland, telling Mrs. Adams of her son's last minutes on earth. As I say, very sad. I didn't care who you are, it's very, very sad. Adam's only 21-year-old. Now, as I say, unfortunately, he had heeded the blandishments on the recruiting poster.
Yes.
And joined up, coming to Ireland, I suppose, otherwise he'd be out of a job.
That's it. He didn't help him. Yeah.
And unfortunately, he ended up with his death.
Exactly. So I suppose that's a note on which we can leave it for today, Tom, and we'll recommence. Are we recommencing for March next time?
Yes.
You have been listening to A Window on the Past on West Limerick 102 FM.